Hi, welcome to this ASI cast, where we look at some of the problems faced by current research into how people are viewing television and some of the difficulties arising from conclusions drawn from such research. At the close of our TV conference last November, there was a widespread sense that one of the urgent issues the industry faced was over definitions, over the need to recognise exactly what any given piece of research is helping us to understand. Richard Marks, our research director, asked Matt Hill, director of research and planning at the UK TV trade body Thinkbox, to outline some of the difficulties the industry faces.
Well, hi, Matt. Thanks for joining us on the ASI cast. Firstly, primarily for our international listeners, can you just remind us of what the role of Thinkbox is in UK media?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for inviting me to speak on your podcast. So Thinkbox is the trade body, trade marketing body for TV in the UK. We formed about 10 years ago, and we're funded by the commercial broadcasters, so ITV, Channel 4, and Sky Media, UK TV, and Turner. And basically, we were set up to help sort of talk about TV and help agencies and advertisers to get the best out of their TV advertising. So that's us in a nutshell, really.
And you joined last year, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. It's been a roller coaster year for me. There's been about 10 years of research that I've had to digest. And so it's been very good.
And your brief is obviously research, which is why you're on this research podcast. And you commission your own research projects. But it does seem in recent years that you've had an increasing role to play in challenging other pieces of research and data analysis when you believe they're making misleading claims about television. What are the most common traps that you're finding that some of these surveys have been falling into?
It's definitely something that there tends to be more and more of these days. And it's not particularly something that we want to do, but As a trade body for TV, it's really important that when there is a bad piece of research that is misrepresenting the truth about the changing way that we're watching TV, that we respond to it. It tends to be from marketing divisions of big consultancies who are sort of looking to, I guess, you know, shed light on changing behaviour and market their services and market the need for these big companies. But it's research that tends to be done by the sort of the marketing arms of these companies, it's not necessarily the best research when it comes to actually understanding real behaviour. It tends to be online surveys, and it tends to be claimed behaviour, which is really poor at measuring real behaviour, especially when it comes to consumption of media in general.
Mm. And in terms of the definitions, it strikes me that one of the most common mistakes a lot of surveys fall into is confusing television, the device, the TV set in the living room, with television, the medium itself.
Yes.
Kind of using them interchangeably. Is that one of the challenges that you've faced?
That's definitely a challenge. And I think that touches on a bigger challenge that we have across the industry as a whole when it comes to, the need to put things into certain pots. And, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the word digital. And I think Adam and Eve, DDB, have taken the word digital out of lots of people's job titles because it's lost its meaning. Mm. Because all TV viewing is digital, and TV can be viewed in a number of different ways. And how we report spends across different media, we sort of have this group pot for the internet. But then the internet isn't a medium per se. It's a way in which different medias can operate. It's like confusing, the kettles with electricity. I think that's really part of a wider problem when it comes to definitions and how we actually go around defining how we group things together.
Obviously, one of the challenges you've got is that obviously you talked about the marketing departments having an agenda when they're putting some of these surveys out, but then equally, people will perceive Thinkbox to have an agenda based around you know, who funds you and what your mission is. How do you cope with that, being a policeman, but also sort of people knowing that obviously you also have a viewpoint on the future of TV?
I think it's absolutely right that people recognise that we have an agenda. We do have an agenda. We're here to support TV advertising in all its forms, and we want people to be sceptical of our research. We want people to ask questions, we want people to ask questions because we want people to ask questions of everything that they say in all research they see, and. We're very aware that we, for example, for a piece of research that's our payback study, where we're looking at the return on investment that's generated by the different media channels, that we're going out there saying TV is the most efficient media channel, and people should be saying that. Well, what's that based on? How have you worked that out? How have you estimated that? And so we go out of our way to make sure that when we're conducting this research, we're working with a third party who is utterly neutral in their work and what they do. So we work with Ubiquiti, who are a media auditor. You know, it's in the actual essence of their business that they are neutral, and they wouldn't do anything to jeopardize this reputation. So they're a perfect company to conduct the research. And then also what we'll want to do is make sure that the research is as comprehensive as possible. So we're not just looking at some examples of cases where TV advertising has been particularly effective or useful. We're looking at the average campaign. So we use all the data that we have, which is over 100 different advertisers, 10 different categories. We're talking about over sort of £2 billion worth of spend. So we want people to question our research and ask what it's based on, because I think then you have more credibility in what you do, and the research has more power.
And I think that there does seem, from my perspective, there does seem to be an increasing trend for the media trade press to print things, either effectively summarise the press release or certainly print them without challenging them. I mean, what do you think are the key questions that we need to be asking when a new piece of research is being publicised?
I think that's a very good question. I think that it is becoming more commonplace for sort of press releases to go out and be printed word for word without any any real sort of journalistic quality within it. So I think there's a few key questions to ask. Number one is, who's the company who's produced this research, and why are they conducting this research? So what's the point of the research, and what position does this company have, and why, you know, what's their interest in producing this piece of research, which will lead you to ask the right questions. What's the research methodology that's been employed? Is it quantitative research? Is it qualitative? If it's quantitative, what's the sample size? Is it representative of the whole population, or is it only representing a part of the population? And I think importantly is understanding if the research is based on claimed behaviour, so survey-based data. Is it diary-based? So is it filled out by people as they're actually going about their days and consuming media or whatever you're measuring? Or is it based on metered data, such as barb data, where it's based on actual viewing behaviour? And I think if it's based on claimed behaviour, if it's just a survey that's looking at asking people how they behave, then it should be treated with a huge amount of caution when it comes to talking about consumption of media. People are a very poor judge of their own behaviour when it comes to how much time they spend doing different activities. They're a very poor judge when it comes to how they're affected by advertising. And especially for, I think, when it comes to something like TV viewing, they'll tend to underestimate it in a survey, because people tend to underestimate sort of more routinal existing behaviours, and they will overestimate newer behaviours that they take more notice of. So that's a couple of reasons why people aren't particularly good judges of their own behaviour.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot a bit, because last week the IAB in the UK launched a new survey called Real Living, which looks at TV alongside other screens in the living room. And the publicity focused on what they described as the myth of the TV-centric living room. And they're claiming that it's now the other screens in the room that are dictating behaviour in the main room in the house. It did seem to stir up some controversy at the time. We did ask the IAB onto this podcast to discuss the research, but they declined. So I'm going to have to be devil's advocate on their behalf. What is ThinkBox's own view of this particular piece of research?
You could probably get a sense of our view from our blog in response to it. But I guess we're a bit bemused. I mean, we've worked with the IAB on projects before. We've done a project about the combined power of TV and online and how they work together, and this incredible relationship that there is between TV and online media and the different roles they play. And so I think we were a bit amused. This appeared to be a piece of research that was set out really to undermine TV in terms of the methodology they used. So I think the idea of understanding the changing way in which we're using devices and how we're using devices at the same time as watching TV is a really interesting area. And it's definitely something we should be spending time looking at. From the analysis they've done, you've got an incredible study in Touchpoints, which is a media diary of 5,000 people. So really robust data, which gives you a good idea of how much time we're spending using devices while we're also watching TV. So I didn't really understand why they'd employed the methodology they had to get to the bottom of that. There was the myth busting aspect of it. So the question about the TV being the focal point in the living room, again, was strange, because it appears that, you know, it's a question that's set out really to sort of undermine TV. There's no reference point that they have to say how this has changed over time. And I think the result they had back was 50% of people saying that TV is the focal point in the in the living room. You know, for me, I was actually quite surprised at it being that high. And there's no reference point for us to understand where that's actually come from or how it's changed. And then they're talking about ad break behavior and how people behave during ad breaks and what they tend to do. And again, you get this really low number of, well, only 5% of people saying they actually sit there and watch the ads. And again, I'm actually surprised that it's that high, because people don't, don't actively like advertising. And when you're asked a question like that, you're not really going to be able to properly reflect on your own behaviour and give opinion to how you actually spend your time. I think we're just a bit bemused by it.
I mean, isn't it true that the living room is an increasingly cluttered place when it comes to media devices? I mean, leaving aside this particular piece of research, what work are you doing around whether TV still is the focus of people's attention, or does it matter whether it's the focus of people's attention?
I think that's probably the question is how important is focus when it comes to the impact of advertising? I mean, we've always done other things while we've been watching TV and when the adverts have come on. There's always been distractions. There's always been other options, you know, but maybe just talking to somebody else in the room, leaving the room, doing something else, picking up a paper, reading the book. I don't want to appear to be in denial about the changing way that the devices are becoming more and more important. And, I would definitely recognise, and we've got the Touchpoints data on it, that I think it was around 17% of the time people are going to be second screening, multi-screening while they're watching TV. But I think the interesting area of it is looking at what an incredible opportunity this actually creates for advertisers. We've recently did a study about response advertising, where we're looking at the response of how advertising on TV can drive an immediate response. So basically, people acting within 8 minutes of a TV spot going out, and a lot of this, uh, a lot of the, the trends that we're seeing and the findings from that are off the back of this new phenomenon of multi-screening. So it's a really interesting area. I think the other research that we've done in the past in our Screen Life studies has looked at sort of behaviour of second screening and the impact that it has on advertising. And one quite important finding was the importance of audio for ads to basically take attention between different screens, and that is the most important trigger to move attention from a device screen back onto the TV screen. Mm-hmm. And we saw this behavior which we coined meerkatting, where people will be sitting in the living room, they're very sort of passive, their TV's on, obviously the audio's on, and if something that's interesting that captures their attention on the TV, it will move the attention away from the device, like a sort of meerkat looking over the top of a hill, back to the TV. And if there's something relevant and it engages with the viewer, then their attention will move away. So it is a fascinating area. There's no doubt about that.
I'm aware of some people who did attempt on Sunday to watch the rugby and the football at the same time on two different devices. So I'm sure they were meerkatting as the as the Liverpool goals flew in. Just to round off, what are advertisers and agencies looking for you to focus on next in terms of widening understanding of how TV works? What's on your specifically on your research agenda for the next year or so?
So the big question at the moment, and this is pretty consistent wherever we go, agencies, advertisers, is building a better understanding of video and the new world of video that we live in. And there's two key areas that are that we're being asked about. Number one is really measurement. Because the technology and the way that we're viewing is evolving at a faster rate than we can keep up with from a measurement point of view, there's a real need from the agency and advertiser point of view to understand the total combined reach of their campaigns across different forms of video. But also there we've got the problem of different definitions for viewing, which you can't put side by side, and so it's making it really really difficult for advertisers and agencies to be able to base their decisions on good data. So that's a huge question, but that is something that we can't really touch on because it's down to the likes of Barb and their sort of Project Dovetail in order to answer that, because you're talking about sort of multi-million pound projects that take years of development. But the other side of that is about building a better understanding of the different, effectiveness of advertising in different video environments. So this is going to be a main focus for us this year. We want to conduct a sort of number of experiments that start to break down the impact of the viewing environment on the effectiveness of advertising and what jobs they're doing and how do they best work together. So there are four key areas that we're going to break it down into. We're looking at the impact of shared viewing versus solus viewing. So what's the effect of actually watching content when you're with someone? There's a research that we've done in the past that touched on sort of heightened emotional states and but people are more likely to sort of laugh and be in better mood. And so does this have an impact on sort of your brand building advertising? Are you less likely to actually act on something or respond to something when you're with something or on your own? The second area is understanding the importance of sound and audio. Because we've got sort of different forms of video, so we've got increasing amount of video that's being viewed without sound, and we want to understand the impact that has. Then there's the actual sort of the content environment, and this comes from off the basis of a question of, is a view just a view? Does it matter where people see an ad, on what device they see it, and in what context they see it? Is there a difference between the impact of advertising based on these factors? So we want to build a better understanding of that. And then the final area really is about, it's come back to this focus question, the importance of attention, the difference between viewing something in a passive state versus an active state, the impact on implicit memory versus explicit memory, and differences that this create when it comes to when you're talking about sort of brand building activity, or when you're talking about activation activity. And I think there's going to be some differences between different types of video, different environments, and they're going to be some are going to be better than others at doing different jobs. So we want to try and unpick this so that we can help agencies and advertisers basically better plan their campaigns.
It sounds like a lot. Hopefully we can have you back on the podcast towards the end of the year, and you'll have some findings.
I might have bitten off more than I can chew. We're a bit worried about. We just sent the brief out this week, and it does seem like a lot to try and understand. We're trying to keep it simple and low scale at the moment, and then where we find something that's where, you know, there's potentially some differences or something interesting, then we'll try and maybe hone in on one of those areas. But watch this space.
Well, ambition's no bad thing. I mean, I suppose the key thing, you know, summarising what you said, is it's about trying to find out what's going on as opposed to trying to prove a theory. So it'd be interesting to see what you find and what you report back. So thanks for your time, and thanks for taking part in the podcast, and hopefully we can circle back later in the year to find out what you found.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for inviting me.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, then check out past episodes at asiconferences.com. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss in a future ASI cast, then do let us know.